Revolution, punting dangerous and delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Where's a hit for you geniuses out there?
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points, full of them. We'll
set
up roadblocks everywhere!
A new world order, a new world order, a new world order, a new world order.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everyone!
What kind of radio show is this?
Shut back down and shut your trap! It's time to
And now for something completely different.
Okay. We're having audio problems here on the Dutch Jones Radio program. Today is the 7th? Are we already to the 6th of May? 6th of May 2010. I have to watch where this cable goes because we do this. It hums. You can hear it in the background there, and I'll just fade that out. We're at our secondary secret location. Let me pause that. Let me get rid of that there. I am Dutch Jones. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. How's the level look, Lou?
It's in the yellow.
It's in the yellow. That's all that matters. I cannot see the chat room. I cannot even hear what's going out because we went remote. We went hardcore remote. This is guerrilla journalism at its best, guerrilla radio.
Without the ghillie suits
and without the bananas. Guerrilla radio without the bananas. Get it? Lou's smiling. Stacy again isn't here. She has to drive a little further to get home this time, so hopefully she'll be here around 6:30, and she can say hello to you guys. We got her computer set up over there so she can type in the chat room. Today, the National Day of Prayer, and we took part in it. We went down to the Baptist Community Church, and for about an hour we prayed. And basically, it was prayer warrior between me and about an 83-year-old lady, I think she said she was. She was hardcore. Tomorrow she'll be 83. She was going good, and we were praying for our leaders and imprecatory prayer against our leaders and praying for a squelching of the sin in America and a restoration of Jesus Christ. We prayed for the Boy Scouts. We prayed for our soldiers. We prayed for just about everybody, and it was pretty good that when we were there, there were one, two, three, four, five, six of us from our church, and like two of them from the Baptist church. The pastor for their church got up and walked out. I'm still getting a weird, let me see if I can, maybe I shouldn't even worry about it. Ask the people in the chat room how it sounds. It sounds okay? It's not.
No one responded.
Okay, guys. Give us some feedback. We need to know how it sounds when we're on the road like this. It's completely different. We don't have the big fancy church soundboard that we use that we can equalize everything. We have a $24 Radio Shack mic controller, which I think is on its last legs. I was saying it was new before the show, but I realize this thing's about 3 years old and it's been dropped, beaten, soda dripped on it. Lou's probably done some stuff to it. So, whoa, we just got a weird sound shift there. Careful on the hitting the cords over there, Lou. We have to be very careful.
It sounds a bit buzzy. Still the low background noise.
A low background noise.
But the low background noise is gone.
Okay, let me do this. Maybe that'll get rid of it. I took down that. Well, we're just not going to use the sound effects for the show today. I'll just talk straight through, I guess. No commercials, nothing for 2 hours. I can do it. I'm a big boy. But on the National Day of Prayer, I also heard today, let me see this, maybe if I turn the microphone down a little bit. Ooh, it's going to sound terrible, guys, sorry. But on the radio, it's already federal cases against the National Day of Prayer, that the government's sanctioning a prayer to Americans to take the time to do it just infuriates the atheists and the enemies, you know, of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what we did for our prayer. We really invoked the name of Jesus Christ. We didn't just say God like they do. God could be anyone. Who's your God? I think, you know, Barack Obama says he believes in God, but which God?
Him.
Himself. He worships himself. Boy, my headphones are crackling, guys. I'm sorry about the audio quality.
Your voice is still fuzzy. Oh, well.
Yeah, we'll work with it tomorrow. And here, let me turn this down. Turn it up over there. Turn up your output. And maybe this will help if I turn down the gain on the microphone. So, is it back in the yellow? That should help it because now I'm not... it does sound better to me. It sounds a lot better already. I can get real close to the mic and, you know... Make it sound like it's just you and me and nobody else listening.
No. Okay.
Let's do that. Let me move this.
Said it was better.
Okay, yeah. I had the gain up way too high. We went from a really nice amplified board to this board that runs off a 9-volt battery inverter off the wall. And then we found out that the power supply to the structure where we're at, it's not grounded or something. That's what that hum's coming from. And those of you that are electricians out there would know better than I. But National Day of Prayer went well. We were real excited about it. It was nice to do some stuff with other Christians in the neighborhood of our church and things like that. Let's see. We went last night to our Bible study that I told you about, the Providential History of America. It's awesome. We videotaped it. And because of the generous, and I have to plug you, Ole Ma, the generous efforts of Ole Ma, friend of the show, fan of liberty, Christian woman who... lives in locations unnamed, was able to take care of our archive problem. But what we're going to do is we're going to ship her off some CDs every Monday morning of the previous Wednesday and the previous Sunday sermon, and she'll get those up on the archive so you can take part in our Wednesday night Bible study and our Sunday sermons from Pastor Warren Mark Campbell. John Weaver's, we've got sermons in there. We've got the Peter Hammond sermon that I told you about. We'll ship those all off, and through her generosity, you guys will be able to hear it for free. We're not going to charge you to go to the archives,
He didn't charge for the church archives,
but he charged for mine though, and his archives, you know. But now he's blocked the church archives. It's funny, the pastor talked to me today and said that he talked to some people that know Nicholas, and he denies doing that. So obviously he's not in control of his own website, or he's lying to our pastor. Because we tried it again. See if you don't do it now, but while we're on the air. But, yeah, you can't get into the archives over there at First Amendment Radio. So since Ole Moss set that up at daisydoor.net/Dutch .html. Somebody can put that in the chat room, perhaps, Lou. You can get to the archives, and that is going to take a huge weight off our shoulders because we just hit 90% of our upload. And it's funny because if it's 90%, why are they penalizing us? But the satellite company that we use shut us down today. So we had to throw everything in our backpacks, jump in the 4x, and rush down here. That's why if you were listening earlier, you heard us trying to do what we could to get this up and running before the 5 o'clock deadline. So a lot of good blessings today. Divine intervention. Ole Ma happened to download all of the archives for the church and what was left, I think, of the show prior to those folks at that other unnamed place over there doing something terrible and blocking the Gospel Radio Network, Lou says. Hey, I'm getting your comments on what to name the network, and I appreciate those. And when we slow down here, we'll start throwing them out to you. You guys in the chat room will get to decide what we call it. So far, I like the Sierra Freedom Network. What else did we have? Sierra Freedom Radio, because we are in the Sierras. Ooh, what's this? Those people are sending me stuff, and I don't know what this is. Oh, I don't know what that is. Okay, that stays there. Hey, I don't have to. I could actually look at stuff while I'm talking to you. I can't get in the chat room because that would cause like a weird loop feed for the audio. But today was fantastic for the stock market, wasn't it? A nearly 1,000-point drop because somebody pushed the wrong button and ordered a billion or sold a billion rather than a million shares of something. It was weird. We were listening to 2 meter and 440 on the way over here in the vehicle. For those of you that don't know, that's amateur radio. And even the guys on the hammer said, "Did you see what the stock market just did?" And one guy on there was a broker, and he explained what happened, and they're investigating it now because it caused a downward spiral that they said was the largest single one-day loss since the stock market crash, which may be propaganda.
I'm sure.
Who put what back up?
Nicky.
Nicholas put the archives back up. What a weasel. Yeah, he put them back up. Well, we don't need them. So he put them back up within the last 4 hours then. So, okay. So, yeah, he wants to do stuff, and then, you know, I'm a liar. Oh, wait, no, I'm not. But the single greatest in one day other than than Black Tuesday or whatever it was, Black Monday, what is it? What would we call this today?
Friday.
Today's Thursday, so it would be like Brown Thursday because it didn't get quite to black. And I'm watching Fox News and everybody on here saying, don't panic, don't go sell all your stocks. You know, and it messes up. What they have is they have safety catches now because of the technology. I'm not into the stock market, but I understand this a little bit. I'm not quick enough, smart enough, or have enough money to throw away gambling on the stock market. I mean, I might as well just buy lottery tickets, right? But they said it was a spine-chilling slide of nearly 1,000 points in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Its biggest intraday point drop ever – oh, so it is the biggest drop ever – led to heightened calls for a crackdown on computer-driven high-frequency trading. So what is this telling Alqueda? Get a bunch of computers, mess with the sales for a day, and you can nail us. The slide, which in one 10-minute stretch knocked the index down 700 points, may have been triggered by a trading error. Major stock indexes eventually recovered from their 9% drops to close down a little more than 3%. But the follow-through selling that pushed stocks of some highly regarded companies into tailspins exacerbated concerns that regulators can quickly lose control of the market in a world of algorithmic trading. Is this what they always instigate a crisis and then come in and say, what? We need more regulation. That's the way the New World Order works. It's even, you know, they hate the stock market because independent wealth is created and lost there instantly. So they can't control it. So what are they trying to do? Try and control it. So you're telling me that it wasn't some New World Order guy that just pushed the flush button and everybody freaked out. And so now they're going to say, oh, we need to have more controls. More controls. You can no longer buy and sell, you know, these day trading things on the internet. You're going to have to go into an office. Now, the potential for a giant high-speed computer to generate false trades and create market chaos reared its head again today, Senator Edward Kaufman said in a statement. The battle of the algorithms, not understood by nor even remotely transparent to the Securities and Exchange Commission, simply must be carefully reviewed and placed within a meaningful regulatory framework soon. Kaufman and Senator Mark Warner, both Democrats, said Congress needs to investigate the causes of the market plunges, which at its deepest point wiped out nearly $1 trillion of equity values. So, I mean, right now there are people out there crying that lost everything in this. $1 trillion was lost in, what, a 10-minute sweep? Tell me capitalism isn't a flawed system. How do they say anything in the chat room? Okay, so they're not complaining. That's good. Citigroup said it was investigating a rumor that one of its traders entered a trade. A spokesman for the bank said on Thursday, Citigroup, the third largest U.S. bank, currently has no evidence that an erroneous trade had been made, the spokesman said. Earlier sources told Reuters that the plunge of the Dow Jones Industrial Average may have been caused by an erroneous trade entered by a person at a big Wall Street bank. Could it have been one of the banks that the government now owns? You know, it started a big bank. They just went, ooh, see that big red button over there on the wall in that bank president's office? Obama said, what's that for now that I own all this? Oh, sir, we push that if we want to mess with the system. So Obongo probably went over and went, and pushed it.
They got like a little...
I can't hear you, Lou. What? Speak up.
They cut the head off a chick and throw it into this...
Oh, no. South Park, vague South Park reference on how they decide what stocks do. They cut the head off a chicken and let it dance around on a floor that's tiled with all the different companies. Market sources said the erroneous trade may have involved E-mini contracts, stock market index futures contracts that trade on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Where's Obongo from? Yeah, that's right. Globex trading platform. The composition of the E-minis is similar to the stocks of the Sherman & Poor's 500. I can confirm that our market operated properly and there were no problems, a CME group spokesman said. Yeah, right. That wasn't us. It wasn't us. Other market sources said the erroneous trading involved an IWD exchange traded funded by the S&P 500 Mini, a person closed to BlackRock. That's a great name. Which manages an IWD said there was no unusual trading. So everybody's pointing the finger everywhere else. We don't know who did that. But somewhere there's a mechanism instilled that'll do it. Could you imagine if 10 people did it? One guy did it, and it cost a trillion. What if 10 people did it? It would devastate our system, our investment system, right? They're sending a message, folks. Are you listening? Are you listening? I mean, I don't know if you have stocks. I'm not going to say they're evil or anything, but I wouldn't count on that money being there when you need it. Get it out now. Convert it to means of production, means of defense, medications, and long-term storage of food and supplies. Why are you staring at me like that, Lou? It's been a long time since Lou's had to actually stare at me because we're nose to nose here in this little room. He doesn't know what to do because I keep looking at him. He thinks he's in trouble. Let's see. I don't want to talk about the British election. I don't trust elections. Mosque going up in New York City, building damaged on 9/11. I don't care about that. Let's see. I don't know. 9/11 was a what?
Inside job.
That's right, Lewis. Brett came to church last night. It was good to see him.
To remind us about
9/11. No, he wanted to come by and take part in the Bible study. He was real concerned about trying to get me and Nicholas back together again. And I said, it's not your fault, Brett. You didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, so, you know, I'll get back with Nicholas when a certain subterranean punishment place freezes over, right? Let's see. More on the official Times Squares say that the Times Square guy did dry runs. Oh, and I like now all of a sudden the media is saying, hey, maybe we should be looking at Pakistan. Do you know that Pakistan is where the money for the supposed 9/11 bombers was funneled through their version of the CIA? Pakistan has always been an enemy of the United States. Pakistan has always been a terrorism stronghold. All of a sudden now they're like, because this Fozzie Bear Shahzad guy came from Pakistan. Yeah, I don't know what his real name is. Fozzie Bear, I call him Fozzle Shahzad. Pakistan is not a friend of the United States. They helped when Afghanistan was at war with Russia, and they're helping now. Their leaders will tell us what we want to hear because they're like a little Israel. We give them all kinds of funding. All kinds of training. What?
But they're not Jewish.
Yeah, Lou. They're not. No, they're definitely not Jewish in Pakistan, Lou. Yeah, they don't like the Jewish people. Now, the Pakistani Taliban on Thursday denied any role in the botched car bombing in Times Square, but praised the suspect for a brave job as New York authorities pressed him on his claims of terrorism training. U.S. law enforcement officials traveled to Pakistan to question four alleged members of another militant group, Yaish-e-Mohammed, sounds like a professional boxer, about possible connections to Fozzie Bear Shahzad. I can't even say his name without burping. Who is charged with terrorism and weapons offensive in the failed bombing that shut down Times Square and unnerved tourists and theatergoers on a busy Saturday. Now, what does this say about the recruitment for Al-Qaeda? This guy actually went through their training and still couldn't pull it off. I'm telling you, it's kind of like the National Guard in the 70s. Is that what the Al-Qaeda's like? Is that what they're trying to tell us? If they're really this bad and retarded in their execution, and again, no offense to retarded Americans. I love retarded people. Some of them are closer to me than you know. Waiting for Lou to go, hey, don't threaten me. I am coiled like a cat, like a jungle cat over here. I will take you out. I don't even use a chair anymore. I just crouch pentively. Is that even a word? But yeah, these training camps, we were told that he was also trained in resisting interrogation tactics of the Americans. Well, within 30 seconds, this guy had confessed, if we're to believe what we're seeing. Al-Qaeda, I don't know. I don't see them so much as a wolf as a lapdog of the CIA. I mean, if this guy is some big bad terrorist and was on all these watch lists, one, how did he get on the plane? Let's not talk about that, but it's ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous. Now, scary headlines kept New York on edge Thursday. See, that's what they're trying to do. The media is playing their part. And law enforcement agencies pounced on anything suspicious. The bomb squad was called out to look at a truck with a strong odor of gasoline. Now, what would gasoline be doing in a truck? That was abandoned on the Manhattan Bridge, but nothing dangerous was found inside. And a flight to the Mideast on the same airline that Fozzie Bear boarded before his arrest Monday was called back when a passenger's name was similar to that of someone on the government's no-fly list. Well, I can tell you, my name is so common, my regular name, my real one that nobody knows, you know, Bob Jones. Oh, I just said it. Why did I say that?
That's my name.
If I'm on the no-fly list, there must be thousands of people that get searched just because of me. Now, the 30-year-old Fozzie Shahzad Zadidibwina Bang, an ex-budget analyst who had been living in a low-rent Bridgeport, Connecticut apartment since returning from a five-month trip to Pakistan, is in custody and talking to investigators. Yeah, there goes that resistance training. They were trying to trace his movements in his homeland and whether he is connected to foreign terrorist groups, you think? He's been very cooperative, Police Commissioner Raymond Kelly said, adding that investigators want to find out what he's saying is in fact the truth. Law enforcement officials have sought to find out if Fozzie Bear is connected to a broader terror plot and are trying to trace his steps during his trip to Pakistan, home of the the Paki terrorists, that ended in February. U.S. authorities say they have yet to establish a firm link between Fozzie Bear and any extremist group. We're directly looking at what, at who did he have contact with while in Pakistan, and what did he do? Well, he contacted the Pakistani Tourism Board and put together one of those tourism training packages. You know, it's a terrorist tourism package. You know, come on over, spend 2 weeks in our camp, lose pounds, lose unwanted pounds, learn how to be interrogated, learn how to make a bomb that doesn't work. What a great way to raise money in Pakistan. I think Mexico should do it too. They should have tourist camps for people that want to sneak back into the U.S. Oh, wait, they do that already. But they should have Americans go down and pay the money. What's it like to be a low-life border crosser? We have no relationship with Fozzie Bear. However, he is our Muslim brother, Taliban spokesman Azam Tariq told the AP in Pakistan by telephone from an undisclosed location. We feel proud of Fozzie Bear. He did a brave job. Well, good for Fozzie. I'm really happy for Fozzie Bear that, you know, his homeland. He's going to be in prison for the rest of his life if he's actually not a CIA operative. You know, he was having financial problems and all that stuff. He lost his business. I think his wife, you know, his Muslim wife decided to go to community college and betrayed him or something, got educated. His, you know, I don't know what happened there, but don't really care. But they probably approached and said, hey, we'll give you some money. Why don't you go park this van we're going to give you? But supposedly he was doing dry runs. And it's typical. You know, they're going to make something up. I'm watching Fox News right now. They're talking about those five students that wore American flags to school on Cinco de Amo Day and got kicked out. Well, for one, I'm just going to talk about this briefly. You're not supposed to wear the American flag as clothing. You can wear it as a patch. You can wear it as a symbol on your clothes, but these guys are wearing like these interpretive dance T-shirts. I'm not a big fan of people wearing the flag as clothes. I don't fly the American Old Glory flag anymore. But when I was an MP, I had to learn all the code and all that kind of stuff and proper handling of the flag. They got some Mexican girl on right now saying it was offensive to us because it was our day. It was our day, and they're flying their flag. I would have taken a "Don't Tread on Me" flag. If Lewis were in the public cesspool system on Cinco de Amo Day, I would have had him be wearing his "Don't Tread on Me" or the Christian flag. Here's a kid again. He's wearing like – looks like he draped the flag over himself. You're not supposed to wear that stuff. It's Oak High School in Morgan Hill, California. Now, I don't know exactly where Morgan Hill is, but if it's like the rest of California, even where I live, I'm sure it's just a typical hippie-run community, and it's a little sad, really, but – you're in school. You have no rights when you're in school. That's what they taught me when I was there. When we were having an Army recruiter come to my school when I was 15, I think I had a T-shirt on or something that said, like, the Army sucks or U.S. out of Central America, something like that. And I wore that, and the principal locked me in his office. We were a small school. There's no way the recruiter couldn't have seen me. Actually, the recruiter saw me after school. And actually, I ended up joining the National Guard a year and a half later. But that's another long story. I told you the other day I didn't do it to serve the Army. I did it to get training so Robert K. Brown would think I was cool. But that's the way it goes. In our second hour today, we're going to get picked up by Liberty Tree Radio, everybody. So please, if you've got a call that you're waiting to do, I'm going to give the number out here in a minute. Wait till the second hour because I want to share what you guys are doing with the Liberty Tree Radio folks. So I'm going to give the phone number out here. Get something to write with. It's not our usual number. So Steve in Southern California and our regular list, Chuck, who's been calling in pretty regularly, get ready. Here comes the number. Are you ready to type it, Lou?
Yeah.
Into the chat room?
I already know it.
Oh, it's 559-875-0827. That's 559-875-0827. If you want to call now, you can. That's fine. I don't mind. But if you want to, I prefer that we do it in the second hour so that we can share. Those of you that have grasped the militant Christian worldview, I want you guys to take part. I want them to hear you. Sorry, I left the mic. I leaned too far back. I really want you to do that so you can participate with them. I'm getting a lot of stuff on the pirates again, the Mogadishu pirates. It's boy, I'm not used to this quick computer. It just, I like clicked and I got like eight things open at once. We really got to move to a place with better internet. I don't care if I'm living in a shed. If I can get this kind of internet, we can do 24 hours a day, topical shows, everything. So I need a prayer request. Pray that we find an apartment in one of the cities around us for cheap. We can only afford about $450 a month. I don't care if it's a one-bedroom apartment, as long as I don't have to fight off illegals, you know, so they don't strip my car. Illegals in my yard. But we need something that's got good cable, folks, and I need your prayers for that, because that's about what we can afford. Let's see. I love the way Russians deal with stuff. I was arguing in some forum today. People are like, oh, they just went in there and killed the pirates. Well, that's turning out that's not true. But as soon as one of their tankers was taken, they just threw some Russian commandos on board, and they took care of it. Meanwhile, untold numbers of hostages are being held, and other countries are just wimping out. Gone are the days of Mark, letters of Mark. It's M-A-R-Q-U-E. I always say letters of marquee, but it's Mark, where privateers could hunt pirates. And it's funny, under admiralty law, pirates are to be hung from the yardarm or shot or made to walk the plank, but now they protect them under admiralty and persecute the people on the land. What a upside-down law. But aboard the HSWMS Carl Skronia, that's the only time I'm going to say that, a Russian special forces repelled onto a disabled oil tanker taken over by Somali pirates, freeing 23 Russian sailors and arresting the pirates during a dawn raid Thursday, the commander of the Economic Union Naval Forces said. I still have trouble saying that, Economic Union. The raid against the Liberian flagship Moscow University came 24 hours after pirates had taken the ship over and the crew locked itself in a safe room. The vessel is carrying 86 tons of crude oil worth about $50 million. Now, right in there's a whole bunch in that one little chapter, in that one little paragraph there we need to discuss. It says Liberian flag. For those of you that don't know, Liberia was one of those nations that was created in Africa for the disgruntled slaves and blacks that wanted to get out of America and go back to Africa and live the good life. What ended up happening is Liberia, their only form of income is to allow people to flag their ships and file their ship names. I'm taking my boots off while I'm talking, guys, here. Sorry. My feet are burning up. Fortunately, you guys won't have to. Anyway, I won't go there. But Liberia is just a cesspool now. But they use the American flag. Because they loved America so much, they kept the flag. Except it's only got one star, but from a distance, who knows? So ships like to register under the Liberian registry so that they can fly what looks like an American flag, hoping it gives them some level of protection. That's where it started. So there's that. Let's see. The ship locked themselves in a safe room. Rather than having an arms room and having, you know, ways to repel boarders, our men of the sea these days are now relegated to having little safe rooms, like Jodie Foster in her movie. They put enough food and water in there to stay in there, and the doors can only be open from the inside. And because they're hostages, I mean, the pirates aren't going to burn them out, and I think that makes it more convenient for the Somali pirates. They know where they are. They have a toilet. They have food. They can put a couple guys to guard the door, and that's it. So we're making it as convenient as possible for these heathens of the sea to hold our people hostage. Now, the special forces had been aboard the Russian anti-submarine destroyer Marshal Shapochnikov, which rushed to the scene after Wednesday's attack. The special forces boarded a helicopter and rappelled down on the Moscow University ship. Now, what I don't understand, and I brought this up before, you got a giant ocean tanker, and these guys are in basically whaling boats. Now, granted, they may have an RPG or machine guns or maybe an AT-4 or something. And they're nimble, you know, it'd be hard to run them over, but just keep going along your business. And if they throw a grappling hook on, throw it over. Even high-pressure water hoses. Use your crane with some, you got all that oil on there, drop some barrels of oil on them. I don't understand why this is going on. It's like a psychodrama going on, this ridiculous story back and forth, when I don't understand why it's even an issue. And they have motherships, that's the pirates, they call them motherships where the pirates live on, their ships that they've captured, and I don't understand why they don't just find those, isolate them with all their technology, because the U.S. Navy's over there too, and take out their motherships. What is going on here? There's something else going on. I don't know. They have bigger plans for the pirates. Now, remember when the Barbary pirates were in there, and I think it was Jefferson, who just said, okay, U.S. Marines, here's some letters. This gives you the right. They're messing with our commerce. Go kill them. Go kill them. The Shores of Tripoli, that part of their song, that's what it's talking about. Tripoli, Libya. What's gone wrong with America? We send thousands of troops over to fight some stupid war in Iraq, but we won't do anything to stop true threats to commerce and American lives and innocent European lives. Something's going on with this pirate thing. I haven't figured out where it fits into the New World Order plan yet. Maybe you have. Give me a call, 559-875-0827. Kind of weird. Got another story here, and we're going to touch more on this in the second hour on this next story. Megacities. Remember I've told you that the designers of America's cities are trying to build them as giant refugee camps? Remember me talking about that? They want you to work, live, play, eat, and die within 3 miles of everything. They don't want you to leave that radius. They want to get you out of your car, put you on public transportation, force you into living into these hovels. Now, this story, it's a long one, and I'm going to pick and choose out of it, but here's the title. And this is from Christian Science Monitor, and it says, Megacities of the World, a Glimpse of How We'll Live Tomorrow. New York, a teeming street in Mumbai's Devahari slum, amid a colorful swirl of sweet lime carts and red clay pottery, Pastor Bala Singh brings an assortment of buckets to retrieve his daily ration of water. The indoor spigot he uses provides water only 3 hours a day. It is the only source for 6 small homes on his street. Each family has 30 minutes to fill the containers. Pastor Singh is not complaining, though. Things are greatly improved from when he first migrated to Dharavi. I hope I'm... Dharavi, so it's Dharavi. Dharavi, whatever. The most crowded part of one of the world's most crowded cities. The roads were muddy, he says, from his second floor office above the popping sizzle of a man welding without protective gear downstairs. Now they put down bricks, Singh, he says. Singh ministers to a small congregation that meets above the church-sponsored kindergarten where his wife has taught for 17 years. Though relatives have begged him to come back to home to Tamil Nadu, 700 miles to the east, he has no plans to leave. 3 times I tried to go back to my native place, said Pastor, explaining that there were no jobs there. I don't want to live here, but God's plan is different. Isn't that the truth? Singh's migration to the city, a combination of divine impulsion and the simple need to work, is part of what could be called an epic trend affecting billions of people worldwide. Sometime in 2007, for the first time in human history, more people began to live within the cacophonous swirl of cities than in rural hamlets or on countryside farms. And we're gonna discuss that a little bit, or I'm going to expand upon that a little bit right there as I scroll down. So much nicer having... I mean, even though we can't play the audio, isn't it nice here with having this internet like this? 2007, the world shifted off of farms and into cities. That's part of their plan. Because when we live on farms, what happens? One, it gives us a self-sufficiency attitude. You make your living out of the dirt, raising things up. God provides rain, you provide hard work, and you got food. You take care of the animals that God provided for us. You do everything you can do to produce enough beyond what you need to eat so you can sell things or trade for things and let your family have a better quality of life. And then with the land, because you own the land, you work the land, you own the land, you can give it to your children and have a legacy. Can you do that in a city with an apartment? Can you do that in a city even with a condo or a house that you own, that you're in hock up to your elbows? If you're lucky, that's all the distance it is, way over your head, underwater, upside down. They shifted you from the rural areas into the city. Stalin had to do this. The great train systems, what did they do during the war? They pulled all of the human beings in Russia out of the heartland of Russia to the edges of Russia to defend it. And that's what they're going to do here. That's how they're moving everybody. They're destroying the family farm. It's become corporate farming so they can control the food. Right here, it's already happening here in Central California. Started in the 1930s in America, pushing people off their land, banknotes being sold to corporations, big tractors coming in and farming everything. That's the way it is. Now, it's a fundamental shift that may be altering the very fabric of human life from the intimate, intricate structures of individual families to the massive, far-flung infrastructures of human civilizations. Now, in 1950, fewer than 30% of the world's 2.5 billion inhabitants lived in urban regions. Now, urban means city, folks. Now, by 2050, that hasn't happened yet, so don't get too scared. We still have time to change it. Almost 70% of the world's estimated 10 billion inhabitants, or more than the number of people living today, will be part of massive urban networks, according to the Population Division of the United States Department of Economic and Social Affairs. I love that. The Population Division of the United Nations Department of Economic and Social Affairs. These are the guys who are going to come up with the formula for Soylent Green. You don't know what Soylent Green is? Google it.
It's people.
It's people. Another good Charlton Heston movie. These staggering statistical trends are driving the evolution of the megacity, defined as an urban agglomeration of more than 10 million people. Now, 60 years ago, there were only two, New York and Tokyo. Now, that's 60 years ago. There were only two megacities in the entire world, the New York metropolis area and Tokyo. Today, there are 22 such megacities, the majority in the developing countries of Asia, Africa, and Latin America. And by 2025, they believe there will be 30 or more of these cities. Consider just India. Though the country is still largely one of villages, about 70% of India's 1.2 billion inhabitants live in rural areas. Immigration and internal migration have transformed it into a country of 25 of the 100 fastest growing cities in the world. Two of them, Mumbai, which used to be Bombay. Remember, that's where they had the 10 guys go around and wreak havoc, you know, with the machine guns and the grenades. And Delhi, already ranking among the top five most populous urban areas. Now, in the developed countries of the West, this trend has been building since the Industrial Revolution. It sparked relatively quickly. The exponential growth of cities seen today is a result of that. Now, the quest for efficiency and the corresponding divisions of labor generated technological innovations that obliterated the need for farm laborers and local artisans. This drove populations from the country to the city over time and transformed the plow and the hoe into mere tools for backyard gardeners. Now, the Industrial Revolution, think about what it did. The tenement housing, the entire blocks of people serving the local fabric factory. I'm getting a lot of hiss. I don't know what you hit over there, but check your wires. You just moved something. Yeah, whatever you did, just sir, stop. Stop touching the wires, Lou. You're smiling and messing everything up for us, man. It's about control. It's about being able to shut off your water, your heat, and your jobs all in one swoop. The allure of the cities. How can we keep them on the farm once they've seen New York City, right? It's all part of the social plan. It's easier to put a fence around New York City than it would be to put one around Iowa. Iowa. We keep saying that today. Iowa. Now, today, on average, 3 out of 4 people living in modern industrialized states are already building their lives within an urban area, a ratio that will jump to more than 5 in 6 by 2050. Now, by contrast, today, in the least developed regions of the world, more than 2 out of 3 people still eke out a living in a rural area. For these people, even the slumdog existence in special places like Dharaharvi can offer more opportunities than their villages ever could. And within these developing regions, according to the UN Habitat, I don't even know what that stands for, cities are gaining an average of 5 million new residents per month. In China right now, alone, 1 million people a month move from the country to the city. And then the cities are gridlocked, which we're going to hear later in this article. Anything going on in the chat room I didn't know about? Okay. Most of these urban immigrants, I like how they say that, are they going to have urban illegal aliens, couldn't earn cash in their rural situation, says Chuck Redmond, director of the School of Sustainability at Arizona State University in Tempe. There's not as much cash and economy there, but they still want cash to buy radios and mobile phones or TVs or even send their kids to school, which costs money in many of these countries. Now, think about that. I think about the Tennessee Valley Authority. When they, through eminent domain, confiscated all that property, all those towns, so that they could flood the Tennessee Valley, use hydroelectric power to do what? Electrify everyone. It was great. It was an advance. Now, I like electricity just as much as the next guy. You heard yesterday how we have to turn it on and off to do stuff because of where we live in a shack. And I appreciate it, and I thank God that somebody was able to harness it. You know, God invented it, man harnessed it. But what they had, Tesla didn't invent it. He discovered some cool stuff, though. Lou loves Tesla. He wants to be Tesla when he grows up. But once they electrified everything, what did they start doing? Started inventing. There was this huge advancement in invention in the 1930s and 40s. Electric vacuums, washing machines, washer and dryer, blenders, food processors of every kind to do what? To get mom out of the field and into the house so she could do things. Then World War II rolled around and they put mom where? In the factory. They had to train her how to use these sophisticated things first. So they had to electrify the homes to get her to learn how to use the rivet gun. I know you think I'm wacko making this connection, but it's true. It's right there. It's all part of the flow of consciousness to tyranny. Stop playing around with stuff. It's distracting me, Lou. I don't want to have to look at you anymore. Tomorrow we'll set it up so you're in the closet or something. Across the hall. Yeah, Tom Cruise's house is full of closets. Oh, I get it, because he's got to come out of the closet. You keep stealing jokes from South Park. Come up with your own jokes or we're going to get sued. You keep stealing jokes, Lou. It's not cool. But yeah, they had to get mom trained to work in the factory so they could send the men over. Tell me that that's not true. Tell me that that's not true. They invented the automatic transmission and power steering. Why? So that there would be a market for women to buy cars. Women didn't like cars. Every family had one car, maybe a work truck or tractors on the farm, but in the suburbia, one car and dad took it to go work his 9-to-5 office job or factory job, unless they lived in a factory town and they walked to work. So they invented cars that women could drive so they could increase the market. They've been planning this since the beginning, folks. I don't think they knew when electricity was going to come around. You know, they're not soothsayers. But they exploit every invention and every catastrophe. And this building of these super cities. China right now is exploding. And, you know, they're selling something. They're adding something like 5,000 cars a day to the streets, but yet they're not expanding their streets. Sao Paulo, Brazil, same thing. Like 5,000 or 3,000 cars a day, I think it is, or something that are introduced.
Olima said it makes people dependent on the system and technology.
That's right. Olima says it makes people dependent on the system and technology. I don't watch TV anymore, but you folks watch the commercials. Watch the pop-up ads on the internet. Get this device, get that device. And to some extent, I see myself falling into that, especially Stacy, who's not here to defend herself. But every time there's some new phone out that has some new whiz-bang thing, she has to have it. Even though we can't afford those services, she still likes knowing they're there, I guess. So it gets us as Americans to go, oh, I need the new car with this. I need the new computer, especially computers. Look at our kids in video games. You tell me there's not brainwashing going on with those video game consoles. I won't be dissuaded from that. I think that's what they're doing. It's mind control. MK Ultra-like stuff, teaching our kids to be cold-blooded killers. But every time a new game comes out, what happens? They line up. All the new trinkets, all the new shiny stuff. We're just like the American Indians, you know, on Manhattan when the Dutch showed up with some frying pans and beads and they went, ooh, me lucky frying pan. And then, you know, they didn't even, through the translation of English, they thought they were just letting them stay for a weekend and they ended up keeping the whole thing. And then the Jews came and took it away from everybody, but that's another story. And people think this is a good thing. People think this headlong crash into technology in the future, everybody wants to be George Jetson. But those isolated towers that they want to put us in are prisons. It's not freedom. Taking away the abilities to grow and process our own food, that doesn't lead to freedom, that leads to dependency, like Olima said. I hope I'm saying it right. Is it Olima or Olima? I should have asked her on the phone today when she called. Olima. Yeah, Olima sounds like a bad... Olima! You know, remember the Olima. But we won't forget you. We'll never forget you. We've got to look out for these. It's right in our face here. I mean, I know this is Christian Science Monitor. I don't know much about them, but I like reading stuff about them. I don't know. What Christian Science, is that the Scientology guys? You know, educate me, people. Mexico City. Last I checked, there was like 20 million people in all the suburbs. I flew over it once, and it looked like a field of cardboard boxes. Then you hit the field of houses made out of garage doors that used to be in California. Because those of you that don't know, when you get a new garage door, because they make those California tilt-up ones with the giant springs on it that kill people. You know, they just cantilever up, and they're heavy, and I got a left knee now that needs more pins in it because of one of those. 1992, when I moved here, it was hilarious. Everybody thought it happened during the riots. It was after the riots. I bought a house through the VA. I'm opening the garage door, and one of the springs flew off, and the door came down and just shattered my leg. Took my knee, my right knee out. It was embarrassing. It was horrible. So I'm walking around in a cast, and everybody thought it happened during the riots. It was funny because I just got done with that. But those doors, people replace those with the good old-fashioned, you know, or not good old-fashioned, but good American roll-up door of made of aluminum that's real light that Granny can lift up. Yeah, no, you got a cantilever door here. That's a cantilever. I'm talking about a roll-up in the track stuff. Yeah, Grandma can lift the aluminum, but it's still a cantilever door. Well, you got to do something with those old wooden doors, and the guy that puts it in is probably an illegal alien, gives you the new door. I know he was in the house we were at, and I was furious my ex-wife hired him. And he goes, you want me to haul away your door? That'll be another $100. Well, then I noticed one day I see like 50 of those doors on a flatbed truck at this rest area. What are you doing? He goes, oh, the man I work for, he charges people to haul them away, and I take them to Mexico City, and we sell them to people, and they make houses out of them. They make houses out of the garage doors. They're one giant piece. You know, two car wide, you know, what are they, 7 feet tall? They make houses out of them. That's Mexico City. First thing you notice in Mexico City is the dump and all the orphans picking through it. Orphans and widows in the dump when you're flying over it. It's a terrible place. The center of Mexico City, the ancient city built upon the ancient cities of the Indians that were there, is sinking. There's several layers there. Which was an ancient city, and then they built another ancient city on it, you know, whatever. It's just a hellhole. It's a cesspool, Mexico City, and it's 20 million residents. They say, oh, they've mastered the urban jungle, and they've taken it, you know, they've taken the regular jungle, turned it into an urban jungle. You know, they filter the water to keep it from flooding. Today, the city is sucking up water with natural aquifers at twice the rate they are being replenished. The result, Mexico City is sinking in some areas up to 16 inches a year. The entire city is threatened with collapse. You think L.A. is threatened by an earthquake? Think about a sinkhole under 20 million people. This includes the city's deteriorating drainage system, which capacity was diminished by 30% since 1975. Since 1975, the population doubled. It was 10 million then. Now it's 20. Now, it's an alarming situation, says Felipe Aragon, the technical general subdirector of Mexico's National Water Commission, or CONAGUA. Imagine what kind of bribes this guy gets. Which is building the drainage tunnel. We are taking out as much water. The city is sinking. We're taking out... Okay, I'm going to have to change it because of the translation. We are taking out so much water, the city is sinking. What if an entire block were to go under? Well, how many hundreds of thousands of people would disappear? It's terrible. In 2007, a giant sinkhole swallowed a large swath of busy city street. At Revolution Monument, one of their many Revolution Monuments, water pipe installed over 75 years ago now stands near 30 feet above the ground. So the ground is sinking around the pipes. What?
But we do it in Mexico all the time.
Yeah, but we do it in Mexico all the time. Lou can't do the sound effects, so he's just yelling them across the room. Now, given Mexico City's history as a floating city in the middle of a lake, there's no surprise that water is what vexes most urban planners. When the Spaniards arrived to conquer the great Aztec pirate with just 200 guys with diarrhea, the mode of transportation was not horses but canoes. Today, the city sits essentially on a bowl of pudding. Wouldn't that be flan? Isn't flan like their dessert? Is it like a gelatinous? I don't know. Somebody tell me if flan is like jello. Jose Miguel Guevara, the general coordinator, El Jefe, and general in charge of water supplies and drainage projects at CONAGUA, calls this basin a giant saucepan with no natural exit for the torrential rain that falls each year. But these drainage problems and the corresponding threats of catastrophic flooding belie one of the great ironies of its urban plumbing. When it comes to water, the city is also facing the kind of shortages that plague the rest of the globe. Mexico City, which sits on an altitude of over 7,300 feet, must pump water up 3,000 feet to reach its residents. Last year, it had to ration water after one of the worst droughts in six decades. The drainage problem includes plans for treatment plants, of course, don't drink the water, to turn runoff into clean water for use by farmers. Now, you got to realize, the system that they use for sewer and drinking water is so archaic and so savagely put together, I must say. That's the way the water is, the way it is. These problems and the enormously complex engineering and plumbing challenges they create, see there, reveal a much larger global concern. Like Mexico City, megacities around the world must find ways to control runoff while providing clean water for millions of inhabitants. With 1.1 billion people, or 18% of the world's population, now lacking access to clean drinking water, they need to come to me and buy a Sawyer water filter. There's a plug for you. Now, according to the world, the WHO, who dat? Yeah, who? That's a UN group, by the way. Governments of developing countries need the money and know-how to build massive public works. Yeah, let's just keep making the same mistakes we're making and doing the same stupid way we're doing this, building cities and putting people in them. Let's not stop it. Let's not stop the migration. Let's just keep accommodating it till it finally collapses. That is the pride of humans that think they're greater than the planet that God created. They think they can keep building on a lake in Mexico on the top of a mountain and it's not going to go bad. New Orleans keeps thinking they can live in the bottom of a bowl next to the Gulf of Mexico and it's not going to get hit every so many years and destroyed. These are the same people that built resorts on the side of Pompeii, the same mentality. You know? These are the same people that build massive skyscrapers in Los Angeles on some of the greatest and most dangerous thrust faults in North America. The New World Order uses greed. Greed, greed, greed. Hey, our representative walked out of the UN. I wonder what for. Must be one of the guys from Venezuela or somebody's talking again. Oh, they let Ahmadinejad speak, so our representative walked out. Doesn't Ahmadinejad look like the guy on your street that comes out and yells at you to stay off his lawn? When you cut that corner, you know, he's like on the corner house. He always looks like he's angry. Get off my lawn! You know, I could see him in a wife beater t-shirt, a pair of Bermuda shorts. Just talk to him until I'm live on the air. In Sao Paulo, Brazil, for instance, planners are struggling to cope with the drainage system that was built when the city was a fraction of its current size. Yeah. Now, poor maintenance has left much of it clogged. While forest and parkland have given way to haphazard housing in many areas in the world's third largest city, now there are fewer green areas to soak up incessant rain. Sao Paulo, Brazil. Never been there. Thought about it. But it's the third largest city, and it's built in the same manner. Now, irregular construction and expansion have taken place in areas that the rain runs into. And as the weather has been so bad over the last 6 months, these areas that act as natural reservoirs have become flooded. It says state meteorologist Marcelo Snyder. I love that. You go to Sao Paulo, Brazil, and everybody's got a German surname. You know, in Mexico, it's like, what did I say today? Frederico, Monkey Spanker, Brazil, you know, Guamo, something. But you go to Sao Paulo, Brazil, you go farther south, and it's like, Marcelo Snyder. Marcelo Snyder. My name is Snyder. Now they are occupied, but people shouldn't really be there. It is the poor that suffer. So they built, at least he's figuring this out. They built these big cities, round up the poor, and put them in there. What was the caller wanting?
To remind you about the 3E
for sale. Oh, yes, yes. Is he in there? Is Rocky Hill in there? No. Okay. Is he listening to the show, the person who called? Probably not. Okay. Beijing. Now let's talk about Beijing. Beijing's got all kinds of problems. Sure, they got the Olympics. I still don't know how they did it. I guess they just killed all the bums and drove everybody out so it looked like a nice city. Now, you think I have a problem with South American names? Wait till I start talking about Beijing. Now, Zhaoning, Z-H-A-O-N-I-N-G. Before I go into this, yeah, it should be an X in there somewhere, but there isn't. I love the Chinese. I love Sun Tzu. I love reading his stuff. I think there's some great stuff to learn from the Chinese, but I love making fun of their names and their outrageous accents. So if you're Chinese and you're listening, it's not racism. It's just I can't let a comedy possibility go by without making fun of it. So if I had a bunch of people add me on not Facebook, on MySpace. Yeah, on Facebook that had, like, Asian surnames because they're listening over in Asia. There was one that had an Asian, Bin, and she was a white nationalist. Her name was B-H-N, and it sounds Vietnamese or Hmong or something. I need to send a letter back to her. Why would you be a white nationalist if you're half Asian? But there are a lot of confused people in the world. So don't be offended. I sometimes go uncontrollably into an outrageous Chinese accent. So, Zhaoning lives just outside Beijing's Fifth Ring Road, one of the massive concentric expressways that circle the center of China's second largest city. She wakes up at 5:30 a.m. each workday morning, quickly puts on makeup, and then rushes out to catch her first bus for her just nasty commute to work. There's a word there I don't know what it is, so I said nasty. She barely has time for breakfast. She transfers to a second bus, which takes her to the subway. Then she transfers twice more, needing three different lines to make her way to another bus that will take her to her office in northwest Beijing, where she is the associate director of an American study abroad program. The subway system is only two-thirds the size of New York's, but it carries the same number of commuters. That's 5 million people a day. It's only two-thirds the size of New York's subway system, but it carries 5 million people a day. See, here in L.A., we've got trains, trains and buses that are public, but nobody takes them. It's kind of weird. Until the gas prices hit $5 a gallon or there's a terrorist thing, then people take them again, which is funny because they want them on there. Now, each day I spend 4 hours on the road, she says. It is very exhausting, and it puts so much pressure on me, especially in the morning. Now, when I worked in L.A., in the morning, I don't know who somebody's banging on a wall to get in. Maybe it's the SWAT team. I don't know. We're ready for them. When I lived in L.A., I worked in the peripheral known as the Inland Empire, but my assignments as an investigator, as a bail enforcement officer, were always in L.A. We'd leave early in the morning and take 45 minutes to get everywhere we wanted to go. 45 minutes at 4 in the morning on the roads in L.A. are good. We'd be done by 2 o'clock. We arrest people. We file our stuff. We send our videos of the suspects up over the Internet to our clients, that kind of thing. It would take me 4 hours to get home. If I left at 2 o'clock, I didn't get home till 6 o'clock because of the L.A. freeways. The same 52 miles, it would take 4 hours. Sometimes I would just pull my van over and go to sleep. That's just the way it was. Now, despite Beijing's modern, well-kept web of beltways and feeder roads into the city, driving is not an option now for Ms. Zhao. Even though she and her husband own a car, like most sprawling megacities, traffic and the resulting oft-reported pollution problem is a constant urban plague. More than 4 million cars jostle along Beijing's roadway. Let's see. According to the Traffic Management Bureau, in April, the city began to adjust the working hours for nearly 810,000 people, hoping to alleviate the morning and evening rush. Can you imagine if L.A. just said, okay, all you print shops, all you movie production places, you have to split shifts, 50-50. We don't want people on the roads all the time. But I can tell you, when we had a day without a Mexican, May Day, back in 2001, I think it was, 2002, the freeways were clear. Got all the illegal aliens and their supporters off the road. It wasn't that bad. When Zhao tried to drive, her car was quickly entombed in traffic. I was so worried, like an ant dancing on a hot pan. I can see that in my head. Since then, I haven't driven to work. Indeed, along with water and sanitation, the challenges of mobility virtually define the growth of megacities. At the same time, they reveal the profound social and political upheaval the world's transition to city life can create. That's exactly what they want. You think traffic is bad now? Imagine everybody going the same way, not both ways, and imagine people shooting at you and them dropping bombs on you while you're trying to get out. It's going to make the rape of Nanking look like a holiday. Those of you that don't know what the Rape of Nanking is, you need to Google that and study that. Again, you need to know your history. Cities bring economic growth and the expansion of the middle class. Well, not anymore. Members of the middle class want to own property. Well, we're not allowed to anymore. They want homes. And increasingly, they want cars. Well, the government's taking over production of cars. They're going to control the oil. And like I always say, you want to see what the New World Order's doing, watch somewhere else. Oh, boy, Greece now. They're showing the Greek anarchists fighting back against everything. What are you eating over there, Lou? It's awfully loud. Don't eat while we're on the air. Put your food down. Put the wrapper down. You don't need to eat all that chocolate. When we come here, Grandma spoils them and throws a bunch of chocolate at him. When I found him, he weighed 400 pounds, looked like a bowling ball, and couldn't get out the door until he turned sideways. 2 years, 3 years, was it 2.5 years now? He's a lean, mean fighting machine. I'm not going to let you lose that, Lou. Don't eat all that candy. I know Grandma loves you, but whatever it is, you don't need it. You don't want to end up like I was. You're not going to run a mile, because how do I know you're going to run a mile? What are you going to do it here? You'll go get shot in the town we're in. But, hey, look at that white boy. Let's shoot him. Actually, it would be like, hey, look at that white boy. Let's shoot him and take his shoes. Now, one main characteristic of the city is that it grows horizontally, says Dr. Marcel Solomio. The chief, what?
2 minutes till 6.
That's okay. We're not going to, we got 2 minutes up before 6. We're going to do that transition thing, so I'm going to plug it in again and see if it hums. We're getting ready for Liberty Tree Radio, guys. Thank you, Lou. You're doing a good job today. I don't care what anybody says. Where's the thing? Let's plug it in and see what happens here. Here we go. Is it going to hum? Okay, I don't hear the hum. Do you guys hear the hum? There's a little bit of a hum. So what we'll do is right at 6 o'clock, do you have a second clock, Lou? So we can do it? Guys, we got to make this transition so it sounds good. We want to sound professional. Okay, let me put a song in here. Get a song playing. We got about 30 seconds. I don't know where you hit all the music here. I don't know where it is. Okay, here we go. Okay, let's go.
Take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every
solution to our problem. Government is the problem. It's the problem.
Where's the good for you geniuses out there?
Okay, it's
all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Without all points, boom! We'll send roadblocks everywhere!
A new world order. A new world order.
I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations,
the
gas stations, everyone.
What kind of radio show is this?
Shut back down and shut your trap. It's time to
talk. Jesus.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, folks, here we are. We're at a remote location. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. We're going to fade the music out here. We got a ground fault going on, so we're getting a hum. So I'm going to fade the music out, pull my arm through here, and pull that out. Is that you? Is that me? Where is that coming from? Oh, it's coming in from right here. Okay, folks. Everything going good in the chat room there, Lou? We're up and running still. We're still going. Okay, this is the Dutch Jones radio program. We're beginning our, what is today? Thursday simulcast on Liberty Tree Radio. I'm getting good at saying that.
We're a little hot on the levels.
Let me bring down this. How about that? Don't you adjust the audio over there. Let me adjust it here, Lou. It'll make it easier for everybody. Am I in the yellow or the red? Look at the...
You're in the green.
I'm in the green. That's good. So you guys continue to give me...
Still not great.
So turn it down a little bit over there. That's kind of weird. Who's giving the report? Is that Ed?
Jaws and Ed's.
Okay. Well, let me bring it down to here, and hopefully that'll sound good. I'll keep it right there. But constantly give me feedback so that we can know. Just so you folks know, we ran out of bandwidth at our location in the hills. When our satellite upload hits 90%, they shut us off for several days. So we've had to bug out, grab our portable soundboard, our computers, and go to a fallback position. But the problem is there's something wrong here. When we tested this up there, it's good. We don't have a really bad hum in it. But down here, there's a ground fault in the house, I think is the proper term. Because when we went to battery, which we can't do because we only get an hour's worth of battery. I don't want to do that. It's probably less than an hour now. It didn't have the hum in it. So once we unplugged from the wall, we were good. But we have to be plugged into the wall. So bear with us. Such is guerrilla radio. If it was easy, I wouldn't have fun doing it. I love testing this equipment in case we ever have to go on the run. We actually have an SUV that's set up to run all of this stuff. We just have to find the Wi-Fi connection. And I know there's some high-gain Wi-Fi stuff out there. Ed from Liberty Tree Radio. Did you say Ed was in there?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Welcome, Ed. Ed has told me about those. I've done some research. Do not fret. If we are compromised, we can go on the air anywhere. We have enough computers that have all the software in them. We can do this. Good news is the archives are back up. For those of you listening on Liberty Tree Radio, if you go to dutchjones.tk, that's D-U-T-C-H-J-O-E-N-S.tk, you can see a link there. Where did you put the link?
In the chip in.
Under the chip-in, yeah. And so if you go into the chip-in, you'll see a link there. And there's also a link to the church at Kuya's Sermons, which is good news. I told you guys yesterday that I was going to be videotaping, I found out at the last minute, the America's Providential Heritage, or History. And the first 45-minute class that we had was amazing. So we're going to mail that off to our archivist, and she is going to get it up there for us by the middle of next week, whenever she gets it. And you folks will be able to listen to that for free. And we're not going to charge you to download or anything like that. We just ask that if you enjoy it, you see that chip in there? You see that little chip in on DutchJones.tk? Click that and send us $5. Support the church. Support this radio ministry. What, Lou?
I don't have $5 to send you.
Lou says he doesn't have $5 to send me. I know you got milk money, and I'm going to shake you down for it, Lou. I already did. I made him buy me lunch today because we ran out of money. And I said, you know that $10 you made weed whacking the neighbor's yard? You're buying Dad lunch. That's not fair. Who's been buying you lunch for the last 3 years? Okay. So, anyway, yeah, I muscle my kids for burgers. But, yeah, pitch in if you like it. We're going to try and get the video up, too. We're going to experiment with some different things. The video, honestly, is Warren Mark Campbell standing in front of a class full of people, about 25 people, getting real excited. He's a Pentecostal in his roots, and he gets into it. He shakes the fist, dances around, but the audio is just as good. So, and yesterday's was basically it was an introduction to the book America's Providential History, and you can get that at the church website through our website. It's, I think it's $15 plus shipping and handling for the book to follow along, but you can get it on, you know, I was gonna say eBay, but I can't remember where all the books are. What's the place all the books are? I don't know. It's not from Paladin Press. It's not that kind of book, Lou. But you get the book, you follow along, and you know, you can use the tapes, the audio, and download it.
I think Mark Belli's, I think.
Yeah, Mark Belli, and I don't have the book with me. I left the book on the table in the library, so I apologize, folks.
It's like an audiobook.
But it'll be like an audiobook because we read along. But basically, the first lesson, after talking about the purpose of the class, of course, which took about 20 minutes, is that you will not have a revolution in America until you have an internal revolution in your heart. And I got to talk to Olima a little bit about this on the phone today, and it really prepped for what I wanted to do for this show. The inward change in a man or woman's soul will directly affect how they outwardly affect change in the world around them. And a good example of that is if you compare the American Revolution to the French Revolution. Now, the French so-called Republic, they don't even use the word right, was not about an internal change in the hearts of men that was based in Christ. It was about an anarchist change. Hey, Stacy's here. She found where we were. Uh-oh, that's not good. She located us. Get up, Lou. Get up, Lou. Let Stacy take the chat room so she can be in control. You can sit down over here, Lou. Stacy's here. She's going to be taking her command chair. Yeah, we brought your computer and got it set up. Got you set up in the chat room. Watch out. Don't knock it. It'll make the sound go bad.
It took me an hour to get here.
I know. It's about an hour. Yeah, so it's good. It's about 70 miles, so you must have flown. She's nodding her head. But you compare the French Revolution to the American Revolution, and that's a prime example of that. The French Revolution was a godless revolution. And how did it end? Watch when you touch the wires. It makes you go that are sitting there. You got to be real careful and be gentle. I'll just go like this if I hear crunching, and then you'll know. But you can say hello to everybody, even though you're in as Dutch Jones. Yeah.
Oh, you're not signed in?
No, I can't be. It's just... Just jump in and start pedaling, Stace. Don't ask any questions. Just go, 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 go. So that's what we're going to be discussing. There's just so much in those. I honestly could just put those tapes on, you know, the CDs on of Pastor Warren Mark reading out of the book and then amplifying it for your knowledge. And you guys will listen to it. And maybe we'll get Olima to do that. We'll just play it, you know, around the clock as part of our programming when we get the Dutch Jones stuff up. We just, you know, depending on where we land. So it's good, and I'm glad to share that with you guys, and just ask that you kick down some donations to pay for the CDs and stuff if you want your own copies, or if you download it, you know, and you like it. Support us. Support us, support us, support us. Just like everybody else, nothing's free. This is costing us at the church. It's costing me personally, but we're going to keep doing it. Like today, you know, we are testing to see if we could do it on a remote location. We found a few bugs in it. But I brought along the transmitter. I brought along a bunch of stuff. So if we want to, we could throw up a long wire antenna and be going shortwave right now. We could throw up a long wire antenna that's a certain length and go FM right now. But that's the whole point of this guerrilla communication system. We want to figure out if we can do it. Now, granted, I know if I throw up an FM, they're going to find me real fast, but maybe I'll be far enough behind enemy lines when the shooting starts that I'll be able to just be a form of, I don't know, because there's Hanoi, not Hanoi Jane, I say Hanoi Jane, but Tokyo Rose. I could be like, I don't know what I could call it. You know, I have to come up with something. Confederate Dutch, you know, that'll be yelling stuff at the federal troops across the line, and not to get some special missile that'll hone in on the radio signal. But that's what we're doing. Before the break, we were talking about a lot of different things, about the mega cities in the world where they're trying to pack everybody in the New World Order. So we're going to go on with that. The phone number, what happened to the piece of paper right here that had the phone number on it? Where'd you put it? Okay, the phone number to call in the Dutch Jones radio program. It's a different number. And we ask that you only use it today and tomorrow. The good people here, every time I do a 2 or 3 day stint here, for days they get calls from people saying, oh, is Dutch there? Yeah, we want to sell him some life insurance. The phone number is 559-875-0827. I'm going to say that slow again. It's the same area code, 559-875-0827. 0827, and bear with us when that goes up because we got to set the levels. We tested some a little bit, but call in. I want to know. It doesn't even have to be what I'm talking about. Talk about the stock market going down 1,000 points in 10 minutes or whatever it was. Talk about the crisis in Greece. How this is, even though I don't like the concept of a new world order, I don't like the concept of our sovereignty being taken down to ignore what goes on in other countries, though we do so at our own peril. When other nations are linked financially to the health of our financial structures, then we have to pay attention. So what's going on in Greece is pretty interesting. Now, some of those, you know, they're saying the anarchists and the Marxists are doing it, but it's also the people of Greece that are angry over a couple things. One, they had to stop all of their socialist programs, the handouts. The government there was just, it was a kind of a pseudo-socialist state, and they had a lot of handouts, a lot of free schooling, a lot of programs for single mothers, that kind of stuff. Not to the level that we have in America by far because their population's lower, but suddenly that's all gone. Higher taxes, value-added tax type of thing, a nationwide sales tax. So they're like, people have had enough over there. Now, the Greeks, I don't know a whole lot about the Greeks. I had a couple Greeks in my unit when I was in the Army, and they tended to be a little hot-headed. So maybe if you know a little more about the Greeks, it could be. Yeah, ever since they invented the Olympics, they think they're all that, Lou says. So we've really got it. You can get in the chat room with this one, Lou, if you could. Get it in with that computer, and that way I can kind of see what's going on. Lou's fired up another computer now that Stace is here. So keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on what happens in Portugal next. Keep an eye on what Germany's going to do. But I'm pretty sure they're going to okay the bailout for Greece. They have to do it because the economic union, the their monetary, their unit, their FRN, whatever you would call it, the euro, and so it'd be a, I don't know what they would call it, their euro needs to be propped up. So they're not going to let this go. They're not going to wait. They're not going to run away from it. I think they're just going to pour more money into it. But they're going to let them blow off a little steam. A couple people got killed today in a bank burning. How many of you folks wouldn't want to go and burn a bank? And remember in the good old days during the American Depression when you had the modern-day Jesse James running around, they'd grab the notes and burn them? It doesn't do any good today because they keep everything decentralized and multiple digital copies of everything. So you're not going to really help out your local farmer by doing that. So I don't recommend you do it. But what a great symbol that is. A big old edifice made out of, well, today it would be, you know, in a grocery store, at least if it's like here in California, a little bulletproof cubicle for Wells Fargo, or if they're even still around, I don't even know, or Bank of the West or whatever, with a 3-inch thick Lexan window, somebody lobbing a Molotov in there. Don't kill the people inside, you know, that's a bad thing. But that FDIC little logo out there burning, I think we're going to see more of that, and I think it's going to come to America. I was listening to 2 meter 440 on the way over here, just listening to what the hams are saying about this stock market plunge that was triggered by somebody accidentally ordering too much to sell. Yeah, right. Yeah, it was just an accident. They pushed one of their buttons. There's so many safeguards set up in the electronics of the stock market, but now they're screaming, and I'm watching it right now, we need to have safeguards. We need more regulation on this computer internet trading. That's what it's all about. That's what they want to do. They want to make certain that they can control everything. But I see what's happening in Greece happening here not too far off in the future. I never would have said that 5 years ago. I don't even think I'd have said that 2 years ago. But I think we're going to get to the point where you're going to have enraged, you know, soccer moms and NASCAR dads who go to get their bank money and they say, oh, I'm sorry, you have to come back in a week to 10 days. The money's not here, because that's what the plan is. That's what they want to do with your money. It's not here. The money doesn't exist. It's just paper. Lou told me a great story today on the way over here. He said when he was – how old were you when you asked a question about the national debt and the treasury in your public cesspool system when you went there? You were 13. Teacher was teaching him about it and said, well, the debt keeps going higher and higher, and, you know, and they're spending more and more and more. And obviously she didn't understand what – or he – was it he or she? She didn't understand it because Lou raises his hand. This is before you met me, right? Oh, it's after he met me. Good. So maybe that influenced the question. I'll take credit for it. He goes, well, then, teacher, why don't they just print more money and then make everything okay? And she says, well, if they print more money, it'll just deflate the value of the money. And if they keep doing it, the money eventually will be worth no more than this piece of paper. And she weighs a piece of paper. And Lou goes, well, that's exactly what they're doing. So even a 13-year-old kid gets it. So it's not stupidity, folks. Anybody that says that what's going on in the world economy is stupidity and mistakes and greed doesn't see behind the little curtain, the little guy pulling the levers. It's not a mistake. It's not an accident. It's orchestrated. Of course, you guys know that, especially the folks that listen to this show. You guys know that. You're probably smarter than I am. Of course, a lot of people are smarter than I am. At least that's what the drill sergeant used to tell me. He told me I was the lowest, dumbest person he ever met. But then he said to the guy next to me, too. So what? Oh, I am. At least as I am. So keep focusing on that stuff. Don't lose perspective in knowing that it is not accidental that these things happen. It is not accidental that I got to back up here. This is nice having internet now. Boy, I'm going through all the stories I did in the first hour. I've covered a lot already. These are not accidents. This is all orchestrated. Nothing. There is no such thing as chaos anymore. It's all orchestrated. But the good thing is it allows us here in America to spend this time getting prepared and seeing what's on the horizon before it comes here. No longer are we, you know, the widow watching over the sea, looking over the horizon, waiting for that ship that's never going to return. We can see beyond the horizon and see what's going on over there and know what's going to be visited upon us. This isn't like the Battle of Marathon where some poor guy had to run that 23-plus miles and kill himself to get the message of the battle to the king. We can know instantaneously what's going on as long as we understand that there is a lot of filtration going on. They're only going to show us as much as they can. Today I'm hearing reports from Greece on the shortwave that it's terrible, that it's horrible, it's the worst fighting ever. But yet Fox News just a minute ago said, oh, it's just sparse today. It's not as bad as it was yesterday. It's just more like skirmishes today. Truth's probably somewhere in between, of course. But we always got to collect this data. We've always got to be willing to figure out and be able to read between the lines. Now, I want to talk about a local story here. I often talk about Fresno because I say Fresno because nobody should move to Fresno. Talk about a city that should be abandoned. I don't know where it's going to come out in the census. I hope it's depleting in population, but it's being overtaken by illegal aliens, gangs, domestic terrorists, real domestic terrorists, i.e. The drug gangs. I went to a gang awareness thing that they threw for the county here, and we went, and they wanted all parents of teenage kids to come because it's our fault. I don't let my son run around, but I thought I'd go anyway. And they went through all the different gangs, the Asian gangs, the black gangs, the Mexican Hispanic gangs, the Hmong gangs, the interracial gangs like the Bulldogs. And then it said, oh, and here are the white supremacist gangs, but they don't really bother anybody. And they had like five pictures, and I thought that was hilarious, and I'm not. This isn't a statement for white supremacy or anything, but the reason that the white supremacy gangs aren't a problem in Fresno is because they're so outnumbered. There aren't enough of them to really orchestrate even a good illegal business. The minorities have taken it over, and we're right in the center here between the Serenos and the Nortenos. For those of you that don't know what that means, it's the northern Mexican gangs and the southern Mexican gangs, and then you have a few free radical gangs like MS-13, the Bulldogs, of course, which are an interracial, equal opportunity, you know, politically correct gang in Fresno. Half black, half Mexican gang. That's the Bulldogs, the half black, half Mexican gang. Louis, like, what? And I think the only thing they have in common is they don't like the Asian gangs.
But the stories we are seeing in our local paper that aren't making it... What?
Everyone hates the Asians.
Everyone does hate the Asians. The Asians even only victimize their own. The Hmong, in the Montyards here, they only victimize their own people. It's kind of weird. They don't even go out... every once in a while there'll be some interracial stuff, but not much. But the stories here. Teenagers with AK-47s running around shooting at cars. There were four takeover robberies since yesterday. When they said there were three yesterday, there are four last night within 70 miles of where I'm sitting. What's wrong, Stace? Oh, you're looking around. It's turning into Dodge City here before the ERP boys came into town. Now, I don't know if there's going to be ERP boys or not coming in, but I can tell you one thing. Darden, whatever is what's the police chief's name? Forgot the police chief's name of Fresno. See, the sheriff's name is Margaret Mims, and they do not have control of it. What? Margaret Mims is saying she doesn't have control of it. Dyer, thank you. See, that's why you're here. It's not Fred Dyer, that's an actor, but it's Dyer. And he's a Christian man, or so he claims. Our people have met with him and talked to him about open carry and no driver's license and all that stuff, and he's receptive, but he admits that he gets out of his control. But every single one of the articles that I read about, 40 gang members picked up last night. It was like 45. And then the last paragraph said, but they were all released again. But yet they have these roadblocks that they're running to get people for all kinds of violations, but they're releasing the illegal aliens and stuff again. But here's a story that I think needs to get national attention that hasn't. If you folks in Michigan have heard it, please let Stacy know in the chat room. I want to know where it's going. But this is insane. This was yesterday, 4 p.m. A criminal complaint filed this afternoon accuses a Fresno mother of attempted murder and the stabbing death of her 3-year-old son. The complaint also charges Vanessa Diana Rincon with corporal injury to a child. She is scheduled to be arraigned on the two felony charges Friday morning in Fresno County Superior Court. Now, police took Rincon 30 into custody Tuesday after her son was stabbed at a central Fresno apartment complex. He wasn't stabbed. He was 3 years old. He was not stabbed fighting over a stuffed animal. He was not injured in a drive-by stabbing. His mother, I don't mean to make fun of it, I'm sorry, but he was stabbed 20 times by his mother on the front porch of her house. And I heard this story yesterday, and I couldn't believe it. I was half awake when I heard it. I said, there's no way. Now, Police Chief Jerry Dyer said the boy may have suffered up to 20 stab wounds. Dyer also said the suspect confessed to stabbing the boy but didn't say why. The boy was in critical condition at Community Regional Medical Center. Police said a 2-month-old girl was found unharmed in the suspect's apartment. The girl was taken into protective custody by CPS. Yeah, right. She'll probably be put into a home where she'll be raped or molested. Now, the complaint accuses Rincon of willful, deliberate, and premeditated attempted murder of a child. It also accuses Rincon of inflicting the injuries with a knife. Now, witnesses said that she was standing on the porch just talking to him. She threw him down the stairs and then jumped on him and stabbed him 20 times before the mother and sister could pull her off. When asked why she did it, the mother and sister, I think it was, said, well, she's into drugs, she's in a gang, and who knows. Her mind was just so warped, let it be drugs or the culture of violence that her culture endorses. Right. When the paramedics got there, she tried to stop them from helping the child. She's like, leave him alone, just let him die.
Sick.
And the reason I tell you this is 2 days before, another Hispanic gang member, a young girl with a baby, drowned her small toddler in a tub in Fresno. The value of life in Fresno is very marginal, isn't it? Culture that took over Fresno has destroyed it. I don't even drive there. I have to go there tomorrow to go to the VA. And in case there's any law enforcement, don't be looking for me because I'm going armed to the teeth. I'm not going to be a statistic. I'm going to avoid your stupid roadblocks. We have an inside man. Now, the mother who drowned her kid a few days before. Hang on, let me get here. I got to open this one. God, I love this internet. I told your mom we're moving in down here to do the radio show full time. She went, what? Prosecutors filed a criminal complaint Tuesday against a Fresno mother who's accused of drowning her infant son in a motel. Now, the criminal complaint charges Gabriela Castaneda Espinoza with murder of her 2-month-old son. Now, she was at an economy inn on Blackstone Avenue in Fresno, and she drowned her child in the tub. Now, after she was involved in two accidents on Highway 41 because there was a high-speed chase. She told investigators that her two children, ages 6 and 4, were alone in the motel room and that she had drowned her youngest child for no apparent reason. Again, drugs and gang involvement are accused. Now, these women are probably treated like prostitutes by these gangs. They're probably beaten and brutalized. These children are probably the products of rape, and I'm not justifying it, but I'm telling you about the... They had a psychologist on, and they said, this is not postpartum separation anxiety. This goes beyond that to just, I mean, this is bizarre. This is like a soldier coming back from a war zone and snapping at the littlest thing and then ripping the throat out of someone for saying, you know, hey, you know, what was it like over there?
How can meth be called postpartum depression when you're on meth?
I know, yeah, meth. Yeah, but that's what the defenses are going to. Stacey's saying if they're on meth, how can they say it's postpartum depression? It's right. No. It's a neuroses. It's an acceptance of brutality. I can give you another case. A man here in Sanger who was visiting his baby's mama. The baby's mama went out to get some 40s and cigarettes when they came back. The baby was laying on the floor screaming. The man was passed out, and in his mouth was the left eyeball of the baby that he had sucked out and bit out of the eye socket of the baby and chewed off the fingers and all this because the baby wouldn't stop crying. He was another Hispanic gang member. I did a little research. You tell me that Satan is not involved with this illegal immigration invasion. And I know in your cities, I'm sure Michigan, Atlanta, I saw stories all over the country.
Why
Fresno.
Would I die in two if that happened to me?
Yeah. The little boy's still alive. The one eye that was still left that was damaged, because I think he tried to gouge it out with his thumbs. They said there's some partial sight in it. But why is this man still alive? I can tell you, had I been the responding officer, he would have resisted. I don't care if he was passed out, he would have resisted. If I had to stand him up, he would have resisted. These barbarians have... Excuse me?
Is he still out on the street?
No, he's in custody, in protective custody, because even the other Mexicans want to kill him, which is surprising to me.
Yeah.
Surprising he didn't get high-fived. Hey, man, that's one way... That's just abortion. He was trying to conduct a late-term abortion. That's what this guy was doing. The city, the region I live in, MS-13. Those of you that don't know what MS-13 is, Mara Selva Sutra... 13. It's an El Salvadorian prison gang that came off of the Sandinistas that were down there when I was down there. I used to shoot MS-13 people. I enjoyed it. They're death squad folks. And now they're the enforcers for the mafia up here. When I say mafia, I'm not talking about Robert De Niro. I'm talking about Robert Espinoza mafia. I'm talking about the Mexican mafia, which controls everything that goes on the streets and in the prisons here. Where we are in Central California, the number one employer are prisons. And with that brings the families of the prisoners. They have what's called Project Exile. If they commit a crime, especially a federal crime somewhere, and they're gang-related, they send them here. And their families from Chicago, L.A., New York, they all come to this region. The influx of people are the supporters of these Mexican invaders and OTMs, other than Mexicans. And if they serve 75% of their term, they get out and they're released locally here in this area. And they stay here. Because this place is great for doing two things. Growing marijuana and the other illicit illegal crimes are right in the middle of the state. Sacramento's to the north, L.A. to the bottom, San Francisco to the west of us. We're like the crossroads of organized crime in California for these cartels. We have on every corner out in the fields in these rural areas. I'm talking, we have a few cities and then these huge open areas and then a bunch of little haciendas and control areas like that. And every corner's got these unlicensed vendors selling everything from burritos to oranges to coconuts to blankets. What did we see today? Che Guevara on a flag on the corner.
And then
right next to it, a Don't Tread on Me flag. So he's covering his bases. But every corner is leased out by the Mexican mafia. It doesn't matter who the property belongs to. It's leased out, and they're assigned these corners, and the northern and the southerners have to obey the boundaries. Last year, a dispute occurred between the northern and southern burrito vendors. That's a good racial term, the burrito vendors. The vendors in these trucks. And they were crossing the lines, not paying the proper tithe to whatever local boss there is. They started killing each other and shooting each other. Well, the Mexican mafia said in MS-13, they went to one family to the north and one family to the south. They rounded up the families. So there's a problem here. You guys, one, you're not tithing properly. You're not paying the bite. Mordita. Whoever speaks Spanish. Is Jaws of Life out there? I don't know how to pronounce it. Mordita. It's the bite. They're not paying the proper bite. Starts with an M. I knew it when I was in El Salvador. So they went into these houses, and without even discussing it, to send a message, in each family, it was orchestrated. It was almost at the same time. These hired thugs shot and killed infants in each home, one in Bakersfield, one up in Sacramento, and said, are you going to stop this dispute and start paying the money, or do we kill more children? And of course they, oh yes, we're going to pay you the money. They didn't even try to reconcile it. They just murdered their children. And of course the families refused to say who did it. That's what we're dealing with this fifth column. If they will walk into one of their own people's houses and shoot an infant in the face in a playpen and say, stop messing around and give me the money, what do you think they're going to do to us? Now, what's in the chat room?
She said, tell Dutch this. When I enter...
Keep on. Read it.
For the California prison system, I curiously noticed that when they conducted the testing to see how competent they were, their reasoning skills, every single one failed, but they made sure that they passed.
Okay, so what you're saying is when she translated for the penal system, these Mexican criminals, that when they were translating to find out their psychological capacities, their reasoning skills were low, but she was told that they were help. She's saying they were help, so they would pass the test.
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
I believe it.
This was to.
She interpreted for them.
Yeah. This was to prove they were competent to understand courtroom procedure.
Yeah.
It was interesting. They would not let them fail the test. They gave them the answers that they had to.
Just like the DMV. Well, you know what? If they're not competent to stand trial, guess what's going to happen to them? They're going to go into the mental health system. So, yeah, there's some corruption going on there. Big business in the prisons. And I tell you what, when they put these key figures in the prisons, it doesn't stop. We have listeners of this show that are involved as, I call them prison guards. They say they're correctional officers. No insult. I love you guys. But correctional officers, what are you correcting? You're prison guards. You're there to make sure they don't eat each other and they don't get out and they don't eat you and your comrades. So it's you're prison guards. I thank God for what you do. I wouldn't do it. Well, I did do it for a while and I hated it. I was involved in just the transportation for court hearings and stuff, and moving from prison to prison. But I'll never do that again. Did I gaff anyone?
Gas anyone?
No. Yeah, I gassed people in the van all the time. When they start fighting, I'd release that CS gas in the back, pepper spray actually.
That's not the kind of gas I was thinking.
No. Well, yeah, I did that too. But back on point here, this fifth column is trained, organized, and I dare say here in California, I won't speak for the rest of the militias. They're better organized than the militias here in California because you know what? Even though they hate each other, the North and South, they have a discipline system. That makes them a militia. Even though they can't stand each other, North and South, they have a rank and chain of command. That makes them a militia. Even though I can't stand them and want to wipe them out, they are a militia. They have discipline, training, they're organized, they have leaders, they have a communication system that is second to none. When you have prisoners in a controlled system, smuggling out notes, and I'm not going to say how they do it, but they fold them up really small and they're not found, and they get out on the street with a hit list that's coded, and those hits are done in a systematic militaristic style without remorse. What's going to happen when we're fighting them, folks? People don't think about that. I was thinking about this yesterday and I wanted to talk about it yesterday, but I didn't get to it. What are we going to do as militias when this revolution starts and we've got 1 million people behind bars? And if I'm wrong on that number, some of the penal system guys correct me, but I did a little research today. May not be too correct. Here in California, we got a bulk of them. How are we going to deal with those? Do we have militia people trained? I know what you're thinking, and I know what you're saying. I imagine what the chat rooms are going to say. Well, just, you know, shut off the prisons and let them all die. Well, there are good men in prison, too. There are good men and women in prison, too. We have to come up with a system to deal with that. But that's a subject for another show. How are we going to deal with this fifth column? We need to start gathering intelligence on the gangs, folks. Now, if you guys up in Michigan don't have this problem, if you guys in my friends in Iowa, Arizona, I want to know, have you come up with plans to deal with them? Don't tell us exactly what you're going to do. We don't want to leak that out. But I've polled 7 California militias, and they've never even thought about this. They just go, oh, well, they'll take care of themselves. The cities will self-destruct. I want to know what you think we should do. The phone number here to call in about this or any other Holy Cause of Liberty subject is 559-875-0827. That's 559-875-0827. We're not playing commercials. We're not taking breaks because whenever we hook the audio board up, it hums really loud, and I don't want to make Liberty Tree Radio sound unprofessional. So we don't want to irritate the listeners away. If you're listening, go to DutchJones.tk, DutchJones.tk. That's J-O-E-N-S. We desperately, desperately need your financial support. There's a little chip in there. If it's not working, let me know. I'll beat Lewis. If you want Lewis beat, you know, just call me and tell me it's not working when it is. But no, seriously, if you've tried that and that pitch-in hasn't worked, if you want to send just, you know, a couple dollars wrapped in a Hanukkah card, a bar mitzvah card, you know, so it gets through the system and the postal workers won't see it and steal it, here's the post office box coming. Post office box 31, Cahuilla, California, 93237. Again, that's post office box 31, K-A-W-E-A-H. That's K-A-W-E-A-H. People's Republic of California. And the zip code 93237. That zip code again, 93237. And that post office box is care of DJ, Dutch Jones, care of DJ. The postmistress that runs that, well, it's actually not a postmistress, but it's a private company that leases it, for now is a friend of the cause. She's a pacifist friend of the cause, but she lets us do what we need to do, and she tells us when people come up and check out our box, if you know what I mean, so she can be trusted. And if you've sent me something and I haven't acknowledged it on the air, let me know, because I wonder if some of our mail is disappearing. Let us know. We need to track that. So you can send it to the Post Office Box 31, Cahuilla, California. Your help is greatly needed. Letters, cards, prayer requests. If you have a sermon that you want to get, drop like $3 or $4 in there for the postage, and we'll send you that, plus a couple other sermons or a couple other videos. We've got, do we still have a list of videos that we offer if people make a donation? We need to do that again. Yeah, we've got another good collection of public domain videos. Anything from the church, the pastor's told us, you guys want it, you know, and you want to make a donation for it, it'll go to the radio ministry. That's what we need. I don't know what you're doing. Oh, we've got a lot of knife defense and offense videos. Lou's practicing all the moves, of course. And we'll get all that stuff up. You need to get all that stuff up on the website. Do it while we get the bandwidth down here to tell people what we can ship them. So, but that's just the plug I'm going to do. It's the only plug you're going to get. Today was the National Day of Prayer. We need your prayers for this ministry greatly. You know, you guys heard yesterday, if you were listening when it wasn't breaking up, we do not have electricity constantly. We do not have hot water. We have one light bulb that we use. The radio station needs a lot of work. So anything you can do that will take the pressure off of our income means that we can go find a commercial or residential property that has all the things we need, and we can continue the internet side of it that way. And we'll even move the radio transmitter there. You know, 400 watts, we could move it down to the main road and cover a lot of stuff and reach a lot of people. So if you want to be part of this guerrilla radio experiment, help us out. Help us out. But getting back to the story at hand, I wanted to give you a little break from the gore there. Central California, Northern California, all of it, Arizona. Somebody sent me some stuff on the Arizona militia today. I don't know anything about them. I sent some stuff off, I think, to Ed. I don't know if he's in that chat room, but I don't know if you saw that email. I want to know if there's somebody we should reach out to. But all along the... Okay, bring up the audio. Okay, hello, who's calling?
Hey, Dutch Jones, this is for David. I'm up in New York.
New York? Wow.
Yeah, the great land of confusion.
Yes, I understand that.
On prisons.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm going to believe what the instructions are for the guards here in the state of New York.
Go ahead, check
that. They've been ordered that if revolution breaks out or there's absolute total chaos,
right,
they are ordered to release all the prisoners and destroy all weapons and go home.
You know, I was going to get to that because I had two prison guards that are no longer prison guards tell me that, but I'm glad you called because I wanted to know what sources are you getting that from?
Well,
not even names, but
the very highest ranking officers.
Okay, that's what I want to know.
System.
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
He says, well, that might be the orders, but that's not what's going to happen.
Right. Yeah, it makes for a potential problem on our part as patriots. You know, is this going to be like the movie The Stand, where the prisoners are going to rot away in their cells, or?
Well, because what the government's idea is to turn loose a whole bunch of maniacs onto the street,
yeah,
to cause even more confusion and chaos. You know, out of chaos comes the new order.
Yeah.
That's what they want to do, because by dumping a million people onto the streets, well, about 10 to 15% of them are absolute maniacs, and you don't want them guys on the streets.
Yes. It's going to be like Dawn of the Dead and Road Warrior, you know, all rolled into one.
The standard position, though, for militia is real simple. If it comes to an all-out revolution, well, that's one of the first places to go, to get new recruits.
Well, that, and we can free those of our loved ones that are behind there. That's why I said we can't ignore them.
Correct. And the thing is what you do is you've got decent prison guards within the system. You say, okay, who are the troublemakers in here? You know, the queers, the rapists, the cold-blooded murderers.
Yeah.
You don't want to turn them back on society.
Leave them there.
You segregate the handful of those, and the guards will know. And, you know, you say, everybody else, well, look at here, we got an armory. Here, there's a rifle for you. Here's one for you.
Everybody gets A-14s, yeah. Yeah, we're fortunate because we have both sides. Those of us that have worked in law enforcement, we have a few ex-cons. We have a very good understanding of how the California penal system works. We just don't have any active guards in our militia. But it's good to have a plan, and it sounds like you guys at least know what's coming down the pike there.
Yeah, it knows what there is. But you see, the state just says, turn them loose,
Throw
all weapons, and go home.
Yeah, so much for protecting, serve and protect, right?
Yeah, in other words, the state doesn't care about serving and protect the community, so any community where there's a prison, you know, you're looking at massive release of some really bad dudes that are in some of these places.
Now, let's look at the organized crime. They're going to be marching on the prisons to let their guys out, too. And, of course, I include the gangs with that also.
Right, so, and some of those may be okay. Some of them, definitely within a gang system, you don't want on the street.
Now, one manual that I read said you take those people, you make them think you trust them, you don't necessarily give them the most basic of weaponry, and you put them out front where you can keep an eye on them. It's a cleansing from Yugoslavia. But it was a good idea, and I liked it, so...
Because some of these guys that are in the gang really are not enemies. They're only there because
survival.
They've got nowhere else to go. They're like a lot of the people. They have no job. They have nowhere to go. And it's just a matter of, for them, survival.
Victim of their situation. So that's a good point to bring in there.
If it came to a war, they'd fight.
Yeah.
And they make good soldiers.
Well, we've seen that time and again. You see, like, the Hell's Angels in Vietnam volunteering to go over there en masse, you know.
I know a lot of the Hell's Angels today now are leaders of the militia.
I don't want to go into too much detail, but we've got that connection, too, with ours. We have a good member of our church that's in the ministry. He's a chaplain for a lot of these groups, so.
I have a friend who lives in the Hell's Angel. He is a commander in the militia. He also is a top leader in a church organization involved with rescue, and aid.
Yeah.
And about 3 weeks ago, another man showed up there who's some big mucky muck in operations of providing rescues from another church.
Hmm.
And he's real high level in that church, and he looked at the other guy, and they said, hi, and he says, and he pulled the other guy quickly and said, don't you tell anybody who I am.
right. Yeah, it's good to hear. Now, you said you were from New York. What part of New York are you in?
I'm up on the St. Lawrence right now.
Oh, okay. Good. So you're not in one of the mega cities?
Huh?
You're not in one of the huge mega population areas?
cities? What's that?
Okay, exactly. That's
110 miles to Syracuse.
Oh, that's awesome. See, we got 70 miles to Fresno, which is 500,000 people. You know, right now we're right next to it, but that's because we had to move ourselves for internet access. But so that's a concern here. I'm glad you're thinking about it. I appreciate you calling in and giving us that insight, brother.
There's probably more coyotes here where I'm at than there are people.
We got a coyote problem here too, but it's the two-legged kind that keep bringing the illegals here.
Yeah, right. Arizona's got a bigger problem with that. But
here's
four-legged coyotes, and you just stick your head out the door overnight.
Yeah. We're surrounded by them, and they eat a lot of our chickens and other stuff. We shoot those kind when we can, but right now they're not letting us shoot the two-legged kind, but that'll come soon enough, I fear.
I got a neighbor up here. He continually loses sheep, and he loses chickens. And that dummy, he won't even shoot the coyotes.
Oh, we shoot the coyotes, and we have people say, how dare you? It's just part of the ecosystem.
Yeah, when they're chewing on
you. And I'm like, yeah, when they grab your child and haul them off, I'll just be saying, oh, it's just part of the ecosystem.
Yeah, he's one of these Greenpeace, tree-hugging PETA guys or whatever.
Yeah.
He won't kill an animal. But he's raising chickens and sheep, and, gee, I think he's killing them, but he won't kill any of the wild ones.
Yeah, but not, Yeah, we have bears, wild boar, deer that get into our orchards. We shoot them all. We let God sort them out. Actually, we barbecue them and sort them out ourselves, I should say.
Yeah, bobtail cats.
Bobcats have been just wreaking havoc on our fowl. And we shoot them, and people are like, oh, that bobcat used to eat out of my dog's bowl. And I'm like, you're the one causing the problems. You bring them down here.
One of the biggest things right now causing problems in this area are woodchucks.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Porcupines.
Yep, we have.
They're destructive. They come in and they'll chew on
tear everything up.
On the wood on your back porch or your side shed or whatever.
We don't have that in California. Well, at least where I am in California, but Colorado, they were all over.
How much lead could a woodchuck?
Yeah, so we always. How much lead could a woodchuck take? If a woodchuck could take lead, yeah.
Porcupines.
Porcupines. They're porcupines.
Porcupines are killing the trees too. They eat the bark right off the trees.
And they kill our dogs because the dogs go out to mess with them. The dogs get them, especially in their snout. And two or three times after that, they get infections and they die. So our dogs, we lost a few dogs to the porcupines in Colorado, but I haven't seen one here or seen any sign of one, so maybe we're fortunate.
We don't have any porcupines.
Yeah. But the biggest thing we have are gophers. They destroy our gardens. They ruin the soil. I mean, you know, it's good for the soil to aerate it, but when we try to walk across a field, you break an ankle. So we bring
them. We have a few in this area, but not a whole lot. Farther south in New York, they have a lot more problem with gophers than we got here.
And that,
problem with gardens here is turkeys.
Yeah, we have the turkeys. We keep the turkeys out. Lou chased off a bunch today. Usually airsoft is good for that. You know, grab an airsoft, go out there on full auto, and that'll get them running. But it's like I always worry my neighbors see me out there with the M4 shooting the turkeys. They won't see the little orange thing, and they may call the – but then the cops don't come up anyway. They're done coming up here. They hate the –
Well, because too many complaints.
Yeah, too many complaints. They don't even bother coming up anymore. But well, thank you. We went from gang members to gophers. That shows you where they are on the scale there.
Just about the same place.
Yeah. So thank you for calling. What was your name again, brother?
I'm Sir David Andrew. I'm with the PBN.
Oh, I know who that – oh. I'm honored that you're listening, my friend.
You can go to militias.info, or you can go to restoreliberty.us and read all sorts of nice.
Oh, yeah, I became aware listening to PBN, so thank you so much for stopping by and checking us out.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. You never know who's going to be listening. We got Ed Kornke, you know, the head of the entire American militia movement, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center. We've got Sir David there.
I want to be
Sir Dutch. I don't know. Maybe we'll have a king again, and I can be knighted. Because if I become a knight in America, people are going to think I'm Ku Klux Klan. So I can't do that. I can't say knighted. So anyway, but that was great. New York. It's nice to hear another militia's, type-minded people are thinking about it. So they're going to unleash the standard operating procedure, which is what I was going to get to. I was building to that here in California from two retired. Correctional officers that, in fact, there are a lot of times they sit in my studio audience, but they're not here right now. Well, one of them does. My little buddy who doesn't want his name given out. He's just trying to figure out who it is. Come on, you know who it is. The guy who always brings us bread. The guy who stuffs. Yeah, don't say his name. He doesn't want his name given out. Yeah, Bob. Yeah, everybody's named Bob. What's up with Bob? But, yeah, the plan here in California is to unleash the nonviolent ones. They're going to keep the violent ones with their manpower restrictions and keep them guarded in civil unrest or outright civil war. Because we have earthquakes. Well, see, we have several seasons here in California. We have mudslide season. Well, actually, we have flood season, mudslide season, fire season, earthquake season, and riot season. So each one of those five seasons, and there's probably, you know, economic...
Doug Jones will be going to jail for harassing the turkey.
Yeah, yeah, they're going to come after us for violating the animals' rights by shooting them with airsoft. So there's worse things we could do. We had a deer that was coming in and stripping our fruit trees, so we went to the Division of Wildlife. They gave us a deprivation permit, shot the deer, ate the deer. He didn't taste that good, actually. The guy who processed the meat wasn't that good. But we put nothing to waste. Well, there are parts of the deer we don't eat. We're not like the Native Americans. The parts we don't eat, we ground up and use it for fertilizer, or, you know, give it to the homeless guy to gnaw on that hangs around down the street. But anyway, so they have a plan to release them. Has your militia thought about that? You know, New York knows about it. We found out about it at one of our planning meetings 2 years ago. That if there's an earthquake, they're pretty much going to let them out so they can guard the most dangerous. Now, I have no problem with the guy who got picked up for having an ounce of marijuana, writing a bad check, that kind of thing. But just because that's what he's in for doesn't mean that that's what he was held for. So we have to use discernment. A lot of great men that I know were once in prison. A lot of founding fathers ended up in prison. I probably will end up in a prison one day, which will be kind of bad because once they find out that I used to be law enforcement, it's, I don't know what's going to happen. But I don't want to end up in prison, but if that's where God puts me, I'll do what I can to survive it. And that's actually my biggest fear, is that I'll be in prison watching Fox News when the revolution starts and I won't be able to get out. So that's why I do what I do to stay ahead of the game, you know, and try not to give them an easy way to come and scoop me up, even though, like, we all know they'll just make stuff up. I was joking the other day about changing my name to Dutch Hutari to get on that top list, but maybe I should be a little lower profile, leave the turkeys alone and that kind of stuff. Now, another problem that we're having here in the Fresno area, when I say Fresno area, it's from Bakersfield to north to Madera, you know, mountain range before you get to San Francisco. They're doing gang roundups. But with that gang roundup, they're using that as an excuse to hit whole neighborhoods and set up roadblocks. So you may not even know you're going through a gang neighborhood because you haven't educated yourself to the crime statistics in your community. You're oblivious. You go to your 9-to-5 job in your little Toyota, what's the Toyota, Prius, and you got the windows rolled up, but suddenly you get stopped for a roadblock. And they search every car because, you know, known gang members drive Toyota Priuses and wear business suits. So they do a 100% check on these neighborhoods while they're doing sweeps. So they may go in for 15 gang members, but they may end up making 55 arrests. And when I call to find out, some of them were for vehicle permit registration violations. Some of them were firearms in the car. Some of them were outstanding warrants. Failure to pay child support was one. They actually brought a guy in at a checkpoint because he had failed to pay his child support. Now, in California, they pull your license. They don't even notify you. You get nothing in the mail, because I've known this to happen. Trust me, I have intimate knowledge of this. I don't even have to pay child support, but it still happened because of a bookkeeping error. They don't notify you that your license is suspended until you get pulled over, and, you know, your whole world gets turned upside down, especially if you're some, you know, John Q. Public who's never, you know, your closest interface with the police is watching cop shows on TV. Well, now you're in this roadblock because you take the shortcut to go to your job, and it's through a gang-infested area, and they decided to throw up a roadblock that day. Just like the war on drugs, they're using this to catch collateral crimes. And it's not about the crime. Let me correct myself on that. It's about revenue generation. They're seizing cars, impounding cars, and, of course, Sally and Johnny America will pay those fines to get their cars back. They'll pay $500 to get a car back so that they can continue to go to work to pay the $500. It's an insane loop, isn't it? This war on gangs, the reason they want them out there so quick is it gives them an entryway into your house. What are you laughing at, Stace?
I'm yawning.
Oh, you're yawning. Yeah, thought it was a laugh. Thought I said something funny.
I'm tired.
Hey, am I being funny? Yeah, Stacy's joined the working world now, folks. Pray for her.
Yeah, pray for me.
She finally got out there and joined the rat race. And
eight to five.
Well, yeah, 8 to 5. Well, you get like 3-hour breaks. You're a government employee now. When we were at the debate with Sheriff Whitman, Stacy actually processes the mail for county offices. She's not a postal worker. She's a county worker. And I said, you should ask, raise your hand and say, why is it you get so much mail? What's in there? Why? Who are you? Why do I have to carry all your mail? I didn't think Sheriff Whitman would not like that. So, folks, we're getting near the end here. It's 6:53 p.m. I am honored to be on Liberty Tree Radio, but if we're going to be on there next week, we're going to need a little help. That's all I'm going to say. We need a little help there, folks. We're going to be on there next week. I think we've run out our bandwidth after tomorrow. I think we paid for 2 weeks, and we've been on for 2 weeks, I think. I'm not a good track of time, so Ed in the chat room, if I haven't paid you, make sure you tell me because I will forget. I can barely remember what day it is. If you listen when I first come on the air, I never know what the day is. If it wasn't for Lou, I don't think we'd get our electric bill paid. No, that's not true. He didn't even know anything. I shouldn't give him props for something he didn't do. But there's a lot of things we don't know what's going on. We would miss many major events at the church if I wasn't using Lou's brain to store all my Rolodex stuff in. He's like my extra hard drive, removable hard drive. If I could just get a USB cord to fit in his head and into my computer, I think I'd be okay. But we're working on that. Don't forget to go check out the links. Make sure you enter where the Daisy Door dot. Tell me what it is. daisydoor.net/Dutch/Dutch .html. Wait until I'm done saying it and then tell me the next one. Don't say it while I'm saying it. So daisydoor.net/Dutch/Dutch .html. That's where our archives will be from now on. But there's an added bonus there, folks. You folks listening on Liberty Tree Live, you may have – I said Liberty Tree Live. Liberty Tree Radio, it's going to take a while to break that old habit. You're going to have access to the church at Kuia sermons. Now, last night we did our first Bible study of America's providential history, which is going to take 2 years to go through. If we figure the war will break out before we finish, so we need to start educating people on the Constitution and God's hand in our nation. We'll have those sermons up there, and it's all free, folks. We just ask if you like it, kick us down a few. I was gonna say Benjamins. Those are $100 bills, aren't they? Send us down a few tyrant bills. Those are the ones with Abraham Lincoln on them. Every time I get a $5 bill and I remember it, I write tyrant across his face or baby killer, terrorist, butcher. I wrote butcher across one time. So send us some soft Lincolns if you like the DVDs or not the DVDs. The MP3s that you're downloading, and I want to put a personal thank you out to Olima from our chat room. Olima is in the DutchJones.tk chat room, and she did this on her own. It was providential before Nicholas Arthur at First Amendment Radio went three-year-old on us and took down and disconnected us from the sermons. I don't care if he did it for my shows, but he did it for the church's archives. Well, once the pastor got very upset and called him on it, he put him back up. Well, we don't need him anymore. Once again, Nicholas, we don't need you anymore. You can conduct yourself like a child, and that's what happens. You're going to be outside the gate now when the gate goes up. You made your choice. So, and I know you're listening, and he always listens. The enemy always does. But that's what God does in these times, and that's what I want to leave you with. I didn't really hit the militant Christian message that we're trying to do. What?
5 minutes.
We got 5 minutes. Thank you, Lou. 5 or 4 minutes. And if I talk over Liberty Tree Radio, that's okay. Go ahead and cut me off because I can't play music or anything here because of our...
It's only been a week, not counting the extra days he gave
me. Oh, well, thank you, Ed. I appreciate that. But we've got to focus on the Christian militant worldview. If you do not have an internal revolution in your heart, and of course I'm talking about the spiritual revelation that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins, the external revolution that we try to manipulate with our hands is not going to work. So I really, really implore you to listen to the sermons of Pastor Warren Mark Campbell, and when we get them up, John Weaver, and when we get them up, Peter Hammond, and Chuck Baldwin. We're gonna send Olima. She's gonna be busy. We're gonna send Olima all kinds of stuff. What?
I thought you were gonna say Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris. We're gonna put the sermons of Chuck Norris. Hey, Peter Hammond, maybe. I'd like to see a death match between them. Not a death match. I want to see a grudge match or a battle. Celebrity. Yeah, Peter Hammond. My money's on Peter Hammond. He's a little bit younger, and he's actually killed people. So, you know, a pastor that has shot Marxist communists is all right by me. A pastor, this is Peter Hammond, that goes to Africa, well, he's from Africa, and destroys the enemy there on the field of battle and then prays for the prisoners, and he's got a Bible in one hand and an AK-47. And all that's going to be available there on the links. And that's what we're trying to do. That, if I forget to do it in the hour, I apologize, but we take Luke 22:36 very seriously. Luke 22:36, I'm not going to give it to you. You got to go look it up. But we must obey Luke 22:36 and practice as Christian soldiers. No hubbub, no frills. Everything we do in the holy cause of liberty must be not for self, but for others, and be for to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. We strongly believe that there is no king but King Jesus. I mean, if you go back into the Old Testament, you'll see that God warned our people, you know, his people, that you don't want kings, but they begged for kings, and look what happened. Our nation was based on Deuteronomy, a lot of it. The Founding Fathers went to Deuteronomy over and over again to establish our laws. Our law of the land is God's law. All this extra stuff, all this perversion, all this admiralty law is of Satan. It's not of the Lord. So,
Ed, thank you so
much. As we build the wall and we have a trowel in one hand, the other hand's got to be on the sword or the Glock or the AK, whatever you got. The modern-day Christian soldier has got so many things at his disposal, but we have so much to distract us. So I'm just here to try and, in my humble way, bring a little bit of focus to this cause. It's just like the Tea Party. The Tea Party is going to get nowhere if they don't get back to Jesus. And I'm not talking about a revival where everybody has backflips and stuff, but if they remember that the Founding Fathers, even if they were deists, still acknowledged the Christian hand and the Christian cause in this revolution. Our motto was not, no taxation without representation. That came after Thomas Paine's book. The actual motto of the revolution was, no king but King Jesus. The motto of the Confederacy, Deo Vindicio, Deo Vindicio, God will vindicate. I don't understand, but the South lost. Well, there are reasons for that. We could do a show on that. I've got some great opinions and some great resources and some better minds in mind that I can share with you. So in this last minute, let's focus. Let's focus on the true author of liberty. All freedom comes from Jesus Christ. All freedom comes from the Father through the Son and the price he paid for us. Without him, we will not have liberty. We'll end up, I talked about the French Revolution versus the American Revolution. I don't want to end up like another France. So when this revolution kicks off, and it's not if, it's when, as Mark Kornke says, this kicks off. Stacy's like, he rocks. I don't think, has anybody ever said that? Mark Kornke rocks. Let's make a bumper sticker for our radio, for our FM side.
So does Ed.
So does Ed. Ed rocks too. Let's not forget about Ed. Rock and roll Ed.
And Nancy.
And who? Nancy. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Stacy listens a lot more than I do sometimes because, well, not anymore. She used to listen a lot when I was out working and she was sitting at home eating bonbons watching Ed Kornke or Mark Kornke and listening to him. I always thought she was watching Oprah and it was Mark Kornke. Thank you and good night. We love you all. Listen tomorrow. We'll be back if the VA doesn't capture me. Good night.
Good night.
Save it, Lou. Save it, Lou.